Thank you for the introduction, and thank you very much for joining us today. I was last in San Francisco over 50 years ago, so it's really nice to be back. I'm slightly more petulant adolescent at the time when I was last here. So I don't have any financial relationships to commercial relationships to disclose. So I think it's helpful to start with a definition, especially in the case of sexual violence, where there's often inconsistencies in the terminology in the literature. And this comes from the Violence and Health 2002 report from the WHO. And I just think it's worth highlighting the use of the word coercion. And I found this definition by Laurie Hyde and colleagues at the London School of Hygiene to be quite helpful. Now, it's a bit wordy, but I think it's worth having a read. And I think the section that I'd particularly like to highlight is the last section, really, which is around the fact the woman's lack of options, lack of choice to pursue other options without severe social or physical consequence. Now, why is sexual violence an important public health issue? First of all, it's common, and I've just highlighted a couple of studies which are focused on adolescents in a sub-Saharan context, just to show how common these experiences are. And secondly, there are many adverse psychological and physical consequences. And in particular in the context of Zimbabwe with a high HIV prevalence, I think it's particularly relevant that studies have shown that women who've experienced sexual violence are at greater risk of sexually transmitted infection, as shown in this Swaziland study published in 2009 in The Lancet. However, there are some important research gaps. One particular research gap amongst the group of adolescents looking at sexual violence in that age group is that studies have tended to be clinical or focused on university or school students and therefore not representative. Secondly, survey research, quantitative research, has tended to take quite a narrow view of sexual violence, not paid enough attention to the context within which sexual violence occurs, particularly among adolescent women. So the objective of the work that I'm going to present today is to describe the scale of sexual violence as reported by adolescent young women, to measure the association between sexual violence and HIV and HSV2 infection, to understand the nature and context of sexual violence in more detail, and to explore adolescents' disclosure of sexual violence. So in order to do this, we gathered data, which is the Highfield Young Women's Health Study, which was conducted in Harare, which is a high-density, high-density suburb in the capital of Zimbabwe. 863 girls participated in this survey, aged between ages 14 and 19, and there were modules on sociodemographics, pregnancy, sexual behaviour, awareness of HIV, AIDS prevention. And there was also a subset of girls who consented to have HIV and HSV testing done, either via blood samples or saliva swabs. Interviews were conducted by female social workers, and this is a picture just to illustrate the setting where this happened, which was at a local high school, in order to give girls more privacy, because it was difficult in their homes to talk about these quite sensitive issues. And just to say that the girl who was in this photo did consent to have her photo taken and to be used in this presentation. Okay, so I'm going to show a slide that illustrates the flow of how questions were asked about both sexual activity and about sexual violence. So girls were first of all asked about whether they were married, and if they were married or had ever been married, they were asked contextual questions around that, so for example reasons for the marriage and the age at which they got married. If they weren't married, then they were asked questions about current or past boyfriend, and then depending on those responses, they were either asked if they'd had sex with that boyfriend or ever had sex with anybody else. So girls who had ever been married or were married or had reported having sex with a boyfriend were then asked detailed questions about sex experiences. And these were in broad categories around first sex experience, last sex experience, and if they had a regular partner, the experiences with that regular partner. Then, regardless of the response to those questions, so there were a large number of girls who did not disclose sex at this point, they were all asked direct questions about sexual violence. And then following those questions, they were then asked again, in a slightly different wording, about how many different men or boys that they'd had sex with the caveat that this may not have been sex that they had wanted to have. So you can see that there are various points at which girls may have disclosed sexual violence experiences, so with the direct questions or with contextual questions. Okay, and these are just the direct questions about sexual violence that were asked, which relate to the first objective. The second objective, which is around looking at the relationship or association between coerced sex and HIV-HSV2 infection. So here we were comparing girls who experienced sexual violence with the rest of the sample, adjusting for age as an a priori confounder and other socio-demographic factors such as educational attainment, orphan status and marital status. We then built a multivariable logistic regression model to produce adjusted odds ratios. We also did a sub-analysis just looking at girls who had disclosed having sex. So this is comparing girls who had experienced sexual violence with girls who reported consensual sex. So the third objective, looking at the contextual setting within which girls may have experienced sexual violence, and we considered a number of contextual factors, such as the nature of the relationship between the victim and the perpetrator, the age at which the sexual act occurred, and the presence or absence of stressors, such as physical force, emotional pressure, alcohol, and socioeconomic drivers. There's a list of just some examples of the kinds of contextual questions that were asked. Now, we also thought it was important to try and understand how girls might disclose sexual violence, given that it's such a sensitive subject. Girls may be ashamed, they may be afraid about what may happen if they disclose this. They may just feel that the question is very intrusive, which of course is very understandable. And so, because there were various points at which they could disclose it, we thought it would be interesting to look at the inconsistencies or consistencies between these responses, and I'll talk about that in a few more slides. So what did we find? Looking at the direct questions about sexual violence, we can see that there were ranges between 21% experiencing unwanted touching, to 11% of girls who had been physically forced to have sex. Now, taking all of these together, 24%, almost a quarter of the girls in this sample, had experienced one or more of these types of sexual violence. And if we just focused on the girls who disclosed having sex, including actually those who reported forced sex only, 43 reported having been forced to have sex. That was 115 out of 266 girls. Looking at the association between sexual violence and HSV and HIV infection, so we're comparing girls who experienced sexual violence with the rest of the sample. Girls who had experienced sexual violence were at increased odds of HIV and HSV2 infection, and there's strong evidence that this was not due to chance. However, when we focused on just those who had disclosed having sex, we found that girls who had experienced consensual sex only were at just as much risk as those who have not. Now, this is a slightly unexpected finding to what we when we first started out the study, and so we looked at this in a little bit more detail. Unfortunately, the numbers were quite small, so the sub-analysis was just descriptive. But we wanted to try and understand a little bit more about the girls who were having consensual sex, you know, why they may have been at much more increased risk. And what we did note that the main difference between those two girls, the sort of two subsets of girls, were that the girls who did not report forced sex were much more likely to be married and have a regular partner. I'm now going to just highlight a couple of the contextual factors that we thought were interesting. So this is a question that was asked to the girls who had disclosed having sex, just to bear that in mind that not all girls were asked this question. They were asked to describe the nature of the relationship with the first person that they had had sex with. So most of these girls were having sex with a fiancé or a boyfriend or a lover, as they described. Their last sex, actually in most cases, was with the same person as the first person that they'd had sex with. So I think that's just worth mentioning, and it will become a bit apparent what I'm trying to get across in the next slide. The second thing is even though this question was not actually asking directly about sexual violence, there were a number of girls who actually did disclose forced sex at this point. There were 10 girls who disclosed experiences of rape the first time that they had sex. And there were 9 girls who reported that their first sex was with either a relative or a teacher. Which, although not directly stating that they were forced, it does suggest perhaps an element of coercion there. But the same group of girls were asked for reasons for having sex for the first time, and I think it's quite striking the lack of agency in the decision making for many of these girls, where 20% of girls were saying that the reason that the first sex happened was it just happened, and 39% reported that they were forced to have sex. And of this group, this is 85 girls, 69% that particular forced sex act was with a boyfriend or a fiancé or a lover. Girls were also asked, so this is within the set of direct questions about sexual violence, but a question that was asked to all the girls. For those who reported it having been forced to have sex, they were then asked who this person was. Now, this related back to previous questions, though. If they reported having sex, and they would say it was with their first sex partner or their last sex partner, and so on. So we're a bit limited with this group of girls who said someone else because they had not reported sex earlier. I think it just shows the fact that they were reporting for sex here, but not actually disclosing having sex, and that's an interesting discrepancy. But where the identity was known, you can see that the most common identity was with a fiancé or a boyfriend or a lover. And we also looked at the age at when sex was happening and the age at marriage. And it was fairly common for girls to be getting married under the age of consent and also to be having sex under the age of consent as well. And we looked at whether there was an association between a large age difference and being under the age of consent. And we found that girls who were having sex under the age of 16 were much more likely to be having sex with a man who was significantly older than them. Moving on to marriage, there were 120 girls who were married currently or ever had been married. And we categorised their reasons for marriage into 4 levels. So where they gave very positive reasons, so for example, love was a very dominant theme, it's in the no pressure group. There's actually a significant number of girls who reported moderate or severe pressure to get married. Now, pregnancy, we separated out because it was difficult to tell whether this was this could be seen as a very positive reason, and because that wasn't clear from the data, we've presented that separately. But within the moderate pressure group, girls described extreme significant economic pressures, so for example, being out of employment, not being able to pay for school fees, living in quite poor and unstable living conditions. And there were 12% of girls who described being forced to be married. There were some kind of running out of time, so I'll just skip over these last two questions, which are really about the consistency of responses, which I've touched on already, and it's really just to get across the point that there were significant numbers of girls who had been forced to have sex but were not able to disclose having had sex when asked about that in the context of relationships. So here we have 32 girls who none of them reported having sex apart from one, which is likely a data entry error, but they've all reported having forced sex, and then immediately following that they say that they've never had sex with anyone in their life. And similarly for this group of 14 girls as well. So what can we take from these results? So the experiences of sexual violence were high among this population. We just focused on those who'd ever had sex. 43% reported having been forced. Looking at the association between sexual violence and HIV-HSV2 infection, sexual violence may constitute an important risk pathway. However, all adolescents who are having sex were at risk. And it's difficult to know why that was the case, but it may be that these girls, because they're more likely to be married or have a regular partner, were more likely to be frequently exposed to sex and have unprotected sex if they were desiring to have a pregnancy, although it was difficult in the context of marriage to negotiate condom use. So many girls reported that their first sex experience took place either within marriage or with a boyfriend or a fiancé. Many girls reported their first sex experience was forced, and this was often with a boyfriend or a fiancé. And it was not uncommon for girls to be under the age of consent at the time of marriage or first sex, and it was not uncommon for there to be a significant age gap. Many girls reported situations suggestive of coercion, and contextual information provided a more nuanced understanding of the degrees of coercion girls were exposed to. There were significant economic pressures for a large number of girls to get married, and 12% reported being forced or severely pressured to get married through threats of violence, expulsion from home. There are important inconsistencies in disclosure of sexual activity and sexual violence. It may be that asking questions about sex in the context of marriage and relationships may create the impression that sex should not take place outside of this. Girls who've experienced sexual violence may not consider that to have been a legitimate sex experience and therefore may not report that they've had a sexual relationship or a partner or that they have had sex. So questions about sexual violence should be asked to all girls, even if they don't report having had sex. So hopefully this has contributed to literature and being a population-based study. The fact that it has shown that girls having sex described as consensual are at much risk of HIV and HSV in this context, and that it's important to have a more nuanced understanding of sexual violence by considering contextual factors, and that it's highlighted the ways in which question framing and phrasing can affect disclosure of sexual violence. Finally, I'd like to thank my MSc supervisor, Isolde, and the other authors of the paper, and the NIHR for the funding to be able to attend this conference. And thank you for listening.